Tis the season we pull out all the holiday favorite music, and today we sit down with Robert Wyatt, director of music at Highfield Hall. He's a Steinway artist, Smithsonian Institution lecturer, and specialist in American music. We're going to talk about a few of those favorites and some tidbits you might not know. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mindy.
And now we've got kind of an interesting array of selections here this morning, and we're going to start out with which song?
We're going to start with I Saw Three Ships, which is probably one of the oldest Christmas songs that we know of. It's from the 12th or 13th century. It was a folk song sung by the minstrels. And, you know, there were many English songs that dealt with midwinter, especially the pagan holidays of the winter solstice. But it wasn't until the 13th century when St. Francis Assisi started letting people do something in their own languages rather than Latin that things started taking off. So
here we go. I Saw Three Ships. Tell us a little bit who we're listening to.
This is the Cambridge College, the King's College Singers of Cambridge University. Mm-hmm. And they have just a beautiful Christmas recording.
Oh, so the voices are just
many years.
Lovely.
Yes.
So there's a tune that's been around for quite a while.
Yes, the original lyrics basically dealt with the portage of the wise men's bones to the Cologne Cathedral. That's where the three ships came from. As the centuries evolved, they used other saints, and finally they got to Jesus and Mary being taken to Jerusalem. But the three ships were originally taking the Magi to the Cologne Cathedral.
So we move up in time a little bit to, what is this, the late 16th century we're going to
hear
next?
Yes.
And this is Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming. Tell us a little bit about this one.
This is one of my favorite Christmas songs. It's a German text from the late 16th century. The tune actually first appeared in the Spire Hymnal, printed in Cologne in 1599. And then Michael Praetorius, a very famous German composer, set it to music in 1609. And I think it's most interesting because Johannes Brahms loved it so much that he set his own choral fantasy for organ from the tune.
Beautiful voices yet again.
Absolutely.
So, you know, now we're kind of jumping ahead here. This next song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, this is older than the recorded version that we have. Right. So tell us a little bit about the song before we talk about what we're going to hear.
Well, the words were written by Charles Wesley, who was the brother of John Wesley, who, you know, invented the Methodist movement in England. It was first printed in 1739, but the original opening couplet was, "Hark how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings," which was altered by one of Wesley's co-workers. He just didn't think that his words really made it, and luckily so. Yeah. And then they chose Mendelssohn's Festgesang on the invention of printing, which was written in 1840 as the tune. So you're hearing a little bit of Mendelssohn, a little bit of Charles Wesley.
That's interesting. And the version that we have is Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby, if you can believe
Perfect.
Not the version you were expecting, was it?
I don't think they rehearsed a whole lot when they put that one together.
Yeah, that might have been live somewhere. I tried to find, you know, it's one of those CDs that, you know, when they had the albums, we used to have so much more information.
Yeah.
You know, so now this is
That's
like
right,
a little
the
cover
liner
thing.
Notes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's great, though, because you can really hear the voices, but they don't quite match, and one would last a little longer, and
the other
who
one,
knows
right?
who the women are, but that's a great recording. I've never heard that.
Yeah, that's one of those.
Fantastic.
In my collection that who knows where that came from. Now, we have our next tune. Tell us a little bit about In the Bleak Midwinter.
Well, this has a very interesting history. The English poet Christina Rossetti wrote the words sometime before 1872, but it was not published until after her death in a group of poetic works in 1904. And it first appeared with music by Gustav Holst, who we know mainly for his composition, The Planets, which is very, very popular. It appeared in 1906 with his setting. And in 2008, it was voted the very best Christmas carol by the choir masters and choral experts of this planet. So it's a very hauntingly beautiful song.
Yeah. And who's singing the recording that we're going to hear? Do you know?
This is, again, the Cambridge Singers.
Oh.
What an absolutely beautiful recording that is.
The harmonies are so lush.
Just gorgeous, just gorgeous.
Melts you.
Yeah. The next song that we're going to talk about, I just love the story. There's so many. We could spend the whole rest of the show on this
song.
White Christmas, of course. The classic song for Christmas.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about it. Irving Berlin.
Well, first, we have to remember that Irving Berlin was a Jew.
Right.
And when he moved to, you know, his Orthodox, his father was a cantor and he sang at the synagogue. But he loved Christmas. When he lived in the Lower East Side, he used to visit his neighbors, the O'Haras. And although they were as poor as he was, and they had a flimsy little tree with broken branches, he said, "But to me, it seemed to tower to heaven."
Mm.
And it's a very, you know, interesting because Irving Berlin, in 1926, married Ellen Mackey, who was Catholic. And so, you know, once he had a family, he celebrated Christmas. But 2 years after he married, his son, his only son, Irving Berlin Jr., died.
Yeah, so on Christmas.
On Christmas Day, only 3 weeks old. So it was a very difficult day for him. This particular piece was composed many years later in 1937 when his family went back to New York and he stayed in Hollywood where he was writing the screenplay for Alexander's Ragtime Band. And he was thinking about holiday times and about Christmas. And in one night, he wrote White Christmas.
And what's fascinating, we've got a couple of different versions here. We're going to just play a little bit of the one with Mel Torme singing, because there's this beginning that nobody plays, right?
Well, when you think of a Christmas song, the verse opens, "The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway."
Yeah, let's hear Mel sing it.
"The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Beverly Hills, L.A. But it's December the 24th, and I am longing to be up north."
And we know the rest.
We certainly do.
You know, but that's it's so fascinating that it's very hard to find a version where it has that beginning in L.A., isn't it?
Well, you know, it appeared in several movies, the first being Holiday Inn in 1942. It took, you know, 5 years for the song to really, you know, make it into the movies, and they didn't use the verse in that.
Right.
And
of course, a lot of people think there was the movie White Christmas where Bing Crosby sang it, and we are going to hear Bing sing it, because I think when you think of that, you think of Bing. The song won an Academy Award. It went on to be the best-selling Christmas single with over 30 million copies sold, and Bing re-recorded the song in 1947. I know you won't know all this. And it went on to the chart for an amazing 20 straight Christmas seasons.
Yeah.
Amazing. I just love Bing Crosby's voice.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, Christmases be well.
Yeah. Do you know anybody else who can whistle like that?
Well, no. I mean, he was incredible, wasn't he?
He sure was. What a voice
he had.
Well,
Al Jolson did bird calls,
that's right.
But he didn't. It wasn't quite the same.
Now, we've got another version of White Christmas that I bet a lot of people are not familiar with. And I have to tell you, when I heard this, I was shocked.
The rockabilly version.
Oh, my gosh. And all right, this is Elvis. Tell us what this Irving Berlin was not pleased.
Well, Irving Berlin, the only thing that he couldn't adjust to in terms of stylistic changes and the sort of the mass appeal of the American people was rock and roll. Mm. So really, when Elvis, came upon the scene, Elvis was the symbol of what Irving Berlin was stopped by. Mm-hmm. And when he heard that Elvis was going to release White Christmas on his album, he actually went to court to prohibit it, and he lost. Mm. And I think that you'll see why.
Well, let's hear why.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where those treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Oh my.
It gets worse.
This is one of those recordings that people will just assume forget.
I love Elvis Presley.
I do too, but.
But not this.
He just doesn't quite capture
some of his other Christmas songs in his album. They really work
Blue
very
Christmas
nicely.
Is great.
Yeah, but this one just doesn't.
Not so much.
Yeah.
There's always these great stories behind the songs, aren't there?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to jump up in time now, right? So where are we now? We're going to the 1940s?
We're going to the 1940s. And as the story goes, Mel Torme, the person we heard just earlier, went to visit his wordsmith friend Bob Wells, and it was a very blistering hot day in California in July. And so he walks in, and Bob Wells is not around, and he looks down at a spiral notepad on the piano, and he saw chestnuts roasting, Jack Frost nipping, Yuletide carols, folks dressed up like Eskimos. And when Bob Wells came in, he says, "What's going on?" And Bob Wells says, "I was so hot, I just started thinking of all the things that would make me cool off." And in 45 minutes, they sat down and they wrote the Christmas song.
And then, of course, it was Nat King Cole who really made it his own.
Nat King Cole Trio first recorded it in 1946.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase, kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Now, that was one of the later versions. That wasn't the 1946 version.
That's right. He recorded it again in 53 and finally in stereo in 1961, and that's what you're hearing.
Yeah.
Now, he was a little upset because, you know, the trio recorded it, and it's, you know, one of the classics of all time. But then, you know, Decca, who was recording black artists back then, Todd Duncan and Marian Anderson and Nat Cole, decided to stick some strings in there to make it a little bit classier. So that's what we've – but if you listen to that original, you know, recording, you know, from 46, you'll hear just the trio, and it's sensational.
Okay, now we jump up to 1957. Rock and roll-ish, I guess?
Yeah, again, rockabilly. And it's interesting that both Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms came out the same year that, you know, Elvis's White Christmas. So it was a big year for rockabilly Christmas music.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time to go gliding in the one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell rock.
Happy little tune.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know you chose most of the music. I chose the last song that we're going to close the show out with because I wanted something we could, you know, dance our way out of the studio,
uh-huh.
Robert. But I want it. It's Jingle Bells, but it's Benny Goodman. Of course, Jingle Bells, one of the best known, commonly sung winter songs written by James Lord Pierpont, and it copyrighted under the One Horse Open Sleigh on September 16th, 1857. And you know, this is not a Christmas song. It's a winter song. Jingle Bells, Frosty the Snowman, Winter Wonderland are all songs that have nothing absolutely to do with Christmas, but we think of them as Christmas songs,
absolutely.
Don't we?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
This was actually the first Christmas piece that I played on the piano when I was 6 years old. So
wow.
Fond memories.
Fond memories.
For me.
See, and of course, it's Benny Goodman. They recorded this in 1935, in July, I might add, of 1935. A lot of fun. There's so many songs we could have put into this half hour if we had more time. Robert Wyatt's director of music at Highfield Hall, Steinway artist, Smithsonian Institution lecturer, and specialist in American music. Always fun to have you here. Merry Christmas. Thanks for being here.
Merry Christmas to you, Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Here's Benny.